You know what we need? We need a radio show on the air, like maybe on Saturday nights, that talks about this kind of thing.
Hi, Dr. Hoffman here. I want to let my listeners know about a brilliant Renaissance man named Dr. Arthur Perry.
You want to talk to Arthur Perry? The best in plastic surgery.
He's a distinguished, award-winning cosmetic surgeon trained at Harvard and Cornell with a practice in New York City on Fifth Avenue.
Dr. Oz, are you there?
I'm here, Arthur. I want to applaud you, having worked with you on a book and numerous other activities.
He's written numerous medical journal articles, and he's contributed to textbooks on plastic surgery.
Your remarkable knowledge, but also your grace at delivering content, which is why it's been a blessing to have you on my show so many times.
It's clear that when it comes to skin and aging, this doctor knows what he's talking about.
Joan, the public wants to know.
The public doesn't give a damn.
As a really, really gifted physician, I want to pay you the highest tribute I can give to a surgeon, which is when people come to you, they don't come for an operation, they come for an opinion. And that's why I trust you with my friends and relatives.
When I was a resident at the University of Chicago, we had a...
That means you're smart.
I didn't realize we were going to get the Michael Jordan of plastic surgeon. 90210 bows to this guy.
And welcome. This is Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WABC. And what a cold. Isn't it terrible already? It's winter already. How could that have happened so quickly? Wasn't it about 70 degrees a few weeks ago? Well, it's cold now. And what does that have to do with you and me? Well, you know, of course, there's the weather issue, but then there's the skin issue, because when the weather starts to change like this, I'll bet many of you just lick your lips right now, and you'll feel little tiny cracks and maybe a little bit of pain. A lot of my patients and relatives are complaining about this already. So what do you do? Well, you know, you could use some moisturizer on your lip. You can use some beeswax, that's what I advise, not Vaseline. Many of you probably saw me on the Dr. Oz show talking about the Vaseline problem. If you put it on your lips, I don't believe in putting Vaseline on your lips. You put beeswax on your lips because Vaseline is somewhat toxic, believe it or not. But beeswax is edible, so do that. But also for your skin, of your face, of your forehead, around your mouth, on your hands, now is the time to use moisturizer. You know that I'm not the biggest fan of moisturizer, even though I have that product. I'm still not the biggest fan of it. I don't think most of you need it. But this time of year is different, because when it gets cold and it gets low humidity, that's when your skin really begins to get rough and thicken and crack. And you know what the story is. So you can head that off by using moisturizer. And I've got just what the doctor ordered. It's a Soft Time. That's what we have for you. And tonight we'll be giving away bottles of Soft Time. Why not? We'll do that at the beginning of the season. It's Soft Time. That is the moisturizer that I made for people who don't like moisturizer. I don't like the feeling of anything on your skin. You know, a lot of women are used to that, right? You know, you put things on your skin since you're a little kid. But men, if you try putting things on your skin, it's just, you can't wait to get it off, right? Well, this is a moisturizer that you can put on your skin, and it doesn't feel like there's anything on your skin. So that's good. I like that. I created it for me, for my relatives, for my family, and it is yours. So Soft Time is what we're giving away bottles of to callers tonight. The phone number here at WABC is 800-848-9222. 800-848-WABC. Give me a call, and I'd be happy to take your questions. If you've got, let's say you're having surgery this week, and you know you're having your facelift done, or maybe you're having a rhinoplasty done, and you just have that one lingering question: do you really think you're going to get a hold of your plastic surgeon before surgery? Well, maybe you will. But you can give me a call this evening, 800-848-9222. No, I'm not a substitute for your doctor, and no, I can't give you specific medical advice, but I can answer your questions and help you out a bit. So go ahead and give me a call, 800-848-9222. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. I'm a board-certified plastic surgeon. I've got offices on Fifth Avenue in Manhattan, where they are now decorating Saks Fifth Avenue right across the street from my office. If you haven't seen Saks Fifth Avenue at Christmas time, you've got to go. It's really an experience. I mean, thousands of people gather on the street in front of Saks Fifth Avenue for the show. It's really quite spectacular, and then they light the Christmas tree. It's a great neighborhood in the winter. It's pretty crowded in the summer. It's crowded in the winter, but I love it over there. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry, and I'm the board-certified plastic surgeon with the radio show, so give me a call, 800-848-9222. So tonight we're going to be talking about a lot of interesting things. We always talk about interesting things, right? We're going to talk about facial asymmetry. What is that? When you look in the mirror, you know, you see maybe on one side of your face a little bit of different than the other. Your nasal labial fold is a little bit different on one side than the other. Your eyes are a little bit different. We're going to talk about that and the implications that it has to aging. So we'll talk about that. We're going to talk about the risks of fillers. You know, I love doing fillers every single day in my practice, either in Manhattan or in New Jersey. I'm doing wrinkle fillers. It's become such a big part of my practice and an important part of my practice. But there are some dangers, and I've got some warnings for you this evening, and I've got some warnings that you better be careful who does your fillers. So we'll talk about that later in the show. And we're also going to be talking, oh yes, one of my patients, and you're listening, asked me about ears. She said, well, you don't talk about ear surgery or ear remodeling or your ear procedures too much, can you? So, yes, I will. Tonight, we're going to be talking about ears. We're going to talk about fixing tears from your earrings. It's a very common problem. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about what I do for wrinkled earlobes, and you know who you are. We're going to talk about earlobe holes that are too big, and maybe those gauges. I talked about that a little while ago. We'll talk about small little earlobes and big earlobes. Tonight's earlobe show. You'll never hear a show on earlobes on the radio, but tonight we're talking about it. So give me a call, 800-848-9222. So last night I was at a fundraiser for the Celiac Foundation at Columbia Medical School, Columbia University, and it was at Cipriani's downtown by the Bull, and I ran into Ron Kuby. You know Ron, he was on this station for so long, and I said, Ron, we miss you over here at WABC, so I've got to have Ron on this show at some point. I had a long talk with Ron Kuby, great guy, fun to talk to, so we'll get him on the show. I'll convince him at one point. All right. 800-848-9222. Let's go ahead and let's take some phone calls right from the beginning. Joan, what can I do for you? What is your wrinkle? Joan, are you there? Okay. You know what? We'll go to Joan in just a minute. We're not quite there yet. So, Ann, what can I do for you? What's your wrinkle?
Yes, I have folds going from my nose to my mouth, and my lips are very dry and cracked and peeling right now. What could be done about that?
All right. How old are you, Ann?
How old? I'm 65.
All right, you're 65, right. And you've got those folds. They're called the nasolabial folds, right? They're the folds between from the side of your nose that go down just to the side of the corner of your mouth, right?
That's right.
And sometimes they continue. They can be separate. They can be continuous, and they're called marionette lines when you have them from the corner of your mouth down to your chin, your jawline. Do you have those also?
I do have those, yes.
All right, so Anne, it's a normal part of aging. Everyone over the age of 50 has some type of nasolabial fold. And in fact, Anne, you know, a lot of people tell me they don't like their nasolabial folds. They want them gone. And I tell them, look at a 14-year-old and you'll see a nasolabial fold. So humans have nasolabial folds. We don't want to get rid of them. What we want to do, however, Anne, is kind of turn back the clock a bit and make them look more like when you were, let's say 30, 35, 40, as opposed to in your 60s. So that's a reasonable goal. So the best way to do that, you know, we used to try and do it with a facelift. But Anne, if you remember the facelifts of the 1960s and 1970s, you are old enough to remember Phyllis Diller, right?
Yes.
All right. So her face was pulled so tight, you know, and she thought she had really good cosmetic surgery. And in fact, the plastic surgeons gave her an award at one point because she was one of the first celebrities to come out of the closet with her cosmetic surgery. And that was a good thing for everybody. So, but we don't want to pull that hard. We don't want to distort your features. So the real advance in helping the nasolabial fold came in 2003 when the very first hyaluronic acid filler was introduced, and that was Restylane. You know, that we used collagen and other fillers before that, but they were really not good. Restylane was a breakthrough product, and we still use it today, and we have many other fillers also, Juvederm and others, Radius. And so they are the mainstays of filling the nasolabial folds. So the way I do it, and a lot of people have heard me on the show, and a lot of you have gone to me, and thank you for having me fill your nasolabial folds, but here's how I do it. I numb you up like a dentist does. So there are four nerves inside the mouth. We numb you up with a little bit of lidocaine. And before you even come into the office, you put some Emla cream on. That's lidocaine cream. And then I use hyaluronic acid in the wrinkles around the lips and around the fine lines around the mouth, those columns between the nose and the center of your lip called the filtral ridges. That's what they're called. The Cupid's bow I fill. Your lips I put a little bit of filler in. And I fill the nasolabial folds and the marionette lines, and even that little groove between your jowl and your chin. And if you've got some old chicken pox scars or acne scars, we'll do that too. And sometimes we'll fill the chin itself, and sometimes we'll fill the cheekbones. And later in the show, we're going to talk about filling the grooves of the lower eyelids, the lower eyelid. So we do all sorts of things with filler, but that's the best way. Now, we can also do other things depending on exactly what your fold looks like. So sometimes, if it's really, really deep, and if it's really deep, sometimes I do something called, you ready for this one? It's called the incisionless wire release. It's not a particularly common procedure, but it is a wonderful procedure if you've got really, really deep nasolabial folds. Here's what it is. I place a needle. Oh, okay, people are going to faint here. I place a needle underneath the skin, and I go underneath the fold. Are you still there, Ann? Did I lose Ann?
No, I'm here.
Okay. I thought you fainted for a minute. I place the needle underneath the fold, and I encircle the fold. And you ready for this? I kind of saw back and forth underneath the skin, kind of like a cheese slicer. Oh, my goodness. Oh, we do some interesting things in plastic surgery. But what I do then is I lift up the fold, and then I fill it with some filler. That's a very, very aggressive way to treat that fold. Usually not necessary. I only do a few of those a year. But if you've got a really deep fold, it's a good procedure for you. So Ann, there's a lot of different ways to deal with the nasolabial fold, but the most common, that is wrinkle filler. All right?
Doctor, I'll be in to see you. Thank you very much.
Okay, I look forward to it. Thanks so much for calling. Now, Joan, you're going to have to hang on the line because we've got to take a break. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry, 800-848-9222. We'll be right back.
You're listening to What's Your Wrinkle with Dr. Arthur Perry. What's your wrinkle?
And what is your wrinkle? I'm Dr. Arthur Perry, board-certified plastic surgeon and host of this show for a long time now. And you can become part of the show by giving us a call, 800-848-9222, 800-848-WABC. And, you know, I was mentioning the Celiac Foundation last night, and it's run by the Columbia University Department of Gastroenterology. And the reason I was there is because my cousin, Gail Roman, was actually honored. She was the honoree at the gala, so it was a lot of fun, and that's where I saw Ron Kuby and a lot of other people. It was a lot of fun last night. So you can donate to the foundation, by the way, and you go to, I guess, the Celiac Foundation. We don't have the exact website, but if you go to Division of Gastroenterology at Columbia University, you'll find that, or just put in Celiac Foundation. All right, so we've got Joan on the line now. Joan, what can I do for you? What is your wrinkle?
Yes, well, 2 years ago, I had some surgery for the removal of a melanoma. It started about an inch below my eye, but it seemed like it must have spread because the doctor, in order to get a clearing and remove it, I am actually... he had to cut from the start of my eye, you know, where the hair grows underneath, and all the way down to underneath my chin. And I was left with like a semicircle scar underneath my eye. It's not, he covered it pretty well, but you could still see the line.
And so, what, Joan, first of all, how old are you, and what specifically is your question?
Yeah, I was wondering if, well, one side of my face looks better than the other, as far as the nose to the mouth.
Okay, so here's the question. Is it the side that was operated on that looks better, or the other side?
Yes.
Okay. Interesting. How old are you, Joan?
I'm 78.
Okay. So, you know, what you had is a melanoma, and hopefully it was a superficial melanoma. Hopefully it wasn't too deep. But we do have to get really good margins around the melanoma. So we have to get, sometimes it's a quarter inch, sometimes it's a half an inch. It really depends on how thick the melanoma is. So we need to do that. Sometimes, if it's even thicker, we have to go after what's called lymph nodes in the face. And when we do that, you know, number one is getting rid of the melanoma. Number two is then making you look as good as possible. And so it sounds like you had what is called a face rotation flap. Does that name ring a bell?
He didn't really explain the technicalities, the medical.
Okay. But what we do is we kind of stretch the skin and move it over from where it isn't involved in the melanoma, and we close that area. And the goal here is, one, to get the wound closed, and two, not to pull down your eyelid. So is your eyelid pulled down?
Yes, it is. That's the thing. One eye is pulled down. It's
okay.
Almost like I have two different eyes.
All right. And the real question, though, is it a cosmetic pulling, or does your eye get dry?
Yeah, my eye does get dry, and sometimes it burns a little.
Okay. So you see an ophthalmologist frequently, I hope, right?
I do see it. The ophthalmologist doesn't do too much. I did go to someone that specialized in surgery, you know, for eyes.
And that would be called an oculoplastic surgeon in your situation. So
exactly.
Right. That's either an ophthalmologist that specializes beyond ophthalmology and does an extra couple years of plastic surgery of the eyelids, or a plastic surgeon who has devoted his practice to the eyes, which there are very few of, but there are some ophthalmologists that then do a full plastic surgery residency. So it's an oculoplastic surgeon. So what did they say? Did they say you don't need surgery?
Well, he actually did some surgery where
okay.
He did lift it. He made it a little bit better, but it's still not perfect. And also, when you look at my face, if you really look good, the nose to mouth lines where it falls, one side is worse than the other.
Okay. So Joan, here's the story now. So what we want to do in this situation is, of course, the function of the eye is paramount. That's number one. And it sounds like if they're not reoperating, then you're compensated. And usually we have people in your situation put ointment in your eye at night. Do you do that?
Yes, just something that, you know, without a prescription.
Right, something called Lacrolube or something like that. That's done. And you carry around some drops during the day. And this is the time of year that often you need more drops, because as it gets colder and the humidity drops, your eyes tend to burn like you were talking about. So you really want to keep them lubricated. So that's number one. In terms of more surgery, it sounds like you've already had it. And as long as you're compensated, which means you're not getting a real dry eye, you don't have ulcers or infections of your eye, as long as that's under control, then we don't want to go further with that. Because anything that we do to the eye at this point, it's a double-edged sword. It could make things worse. So in terms of your symmetry, often in your situation, we'll go ahead and do something on the opposite side of the face, like a facelift to match, because you had skin taken out of your one side of your face, but not of the other. So you told me in the beginning that the side that was operated on actually looks better. Not uncommon. I did this with someone just a few weeks ago. Another physician actually had a what we call a lesion, a thing on growing on his face in front of his ear, and I had to remove quite a bit of skin from in front of the ear, and then lift the skin on that side of the face like a facelift. And I told that person that that side will actually wind up looking better than the other side. And that sounds to be the case with you. So Joan, you can go to your friendly neighborhood plastic surgeon and perhaps have a facelift just on one side of the face, the other side of the face, to match that. All right, Joan?
Do you think I could have it on both sides? So
It's very difficult to know that, Joan. Very difficult to know without answering that, without seeing you. However, it sounds like with what you've already had, it might not be the best idea to go back on that side that's been operated on now twice and do something simply for cosmetic reasons, because it is a functional issue. But again, That needs to be determined in a consultation. Thanks so much for the call, Joan. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WABC. And we'll get to your phone call in just a second, Nancy. But I did want to talk for a few minutes about ears because people want to know about ears. So, you know, what's the story with ears? Sounds like a Seinfeld episode, right? You know, you wear earrings that destroy your earlobes. That's what happens, ladies. And, you know, not so much now because in the old days when you had the phone, remember when we had those, the big phones? We don't even have those anymore, right? The landline, well, we have them. But you used to wedge that phone between your shoulder and your ear. And what did that do? It would pull on the earring. And a lot of you do not take your earrings out at night when you go to sleep. And the earrings pull on the pillow. And so you wake up in the morning, and sometimes there's a little tiny bit of blood on the pillow because that earring has moved down just a fraction of an inch, a fraction of a millimeter even. But over the years, it tends to go down and elongate the earring hole. And if you wait long enough, it'll go right through the bottom, and you know the day it happens. It's very upsetting, isn't it? And now you have what is called in plastic surgery lingo, a bifid earlobe. So that's your word, your cocktail hour word for the day. It's a bifid earlobe, B-I-F-I-D. It just means that you've got kind of a separation of your earlobe, like a little V between the two, the front and the back section of your earlobe. So what do? Well, of course, you can't wear an earring now because the earring will fall through. You could, I suppose, use a one of those old-fashioned snap-ons or press-on earrings. You could do that, but that'll also probably fall down. So most people come in to see me, and we fix the bifid earlobe. And how do I do that? It's local anesthesia. It's a very simple procedure. We numb up the earlobe. It's done in the office, either in Manhattan or in New Jersey. And I remove the skin. Oh, okay, don't get faint here. But I remove the skin. You don't feel it. It's absolutely painless. It's very easy to numb up the earlobe. And then I remove the skin, and I sew those two little pieces of skin together with stitches on the front and the back side of the earlobe. But if I just do that, you wind up getting a little notch on the bottom of the ear. So there's some fancy footwork that I need to do in order to prevent getting a notch. And once I do that, I pierce your ears, just like the piercing pagoda. No, no, much, much cleaner because I sterilize your earrings. I ask you to bring in some gold stud earrings that I put in the autoclave. I'm sure they do that in the store, right? And then we put them in, and I measure where your new earring hole should go by measuring the one side and the other side, and I measure the distance from your cheek to the hole, and then the distance from the bottom of your earlobe to where the hole is going to be, and I mark that. I do it very carefully because we want your earrings to be absolutely symmetrical. And then we pierce your ear and we put those earrings in, and voila, you've got earrings again. So, and then I have people come back 2 years later, they've done it again. So you have to not use these really heavy earlobes. You know, my office in Manhattan is right in the Diamond District, and I try not to look in the window of the of those jewelry stores. I try to whisk my wife right past that window because some of those earrings are really enormous and very heavy. And it's not because I don't want to buy those earrings, but it's because they're so heavy. They're so heavy and they pull right down. So you have to be careful. And I do recommend smaller earrings or hollow earrings in that situation. And hopefully we won't have to fix them again. All right, we're going to talk more about earlobes, and we're going to get to Nancy's phone call when we return from our break. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WABC. The phone number, 800-848-9222. Did I mention that we're doing a special on the Clean Time soap this week? Half price. Half price. You have to use the clean code. It's just clean. C-L-E-A-N, clean. You put it in, and half price for soap just this weekend. It's to get more of you interested in the best soap on earth. It really is the best soap on earth. Actually, my wife tells me it's the best soap. No, it really is. It's a wonderful soap. So clean code. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry, 800-848-9222. We'll be back after these words.
You're listening to What's Your Wrinkle with Dr. Arthur Perry. What's your wrinkle?
And what is your wrinkle? I'm board-certified plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, host of this show. You can become part of this show by giving me a call, 800-848-9222. It's a free call in the United States, 800-848-9222. WABC. So we're going to be talking a little bit more about ears. We're going to get to Nancy's phone call in just a minute. But before I do, I need to talk about Plexiderm, which is becoming one of my favorite topics. You know, I started doing these spots for Plexiderm a few months ago, and every week it seems now I have a patient comes into my office for one thing or another, and they tell me, I heard you on the radio talking about Plexiderm, and so I got it, and you weren't kidding. It's incredible. And I've had a few patients now offer to be the spokespeople for Plexiderm, at least on my show. But I want to tell you about this product. This is pretty spectacular. If you watch TV a lot, particularly the cable channels, you see those commercials that John Greenhut has. He's the boss of the Plexiderm company. And this is a kind of like a makeup. I call it a makeup, not skincare, because it's something that has silicones in it. And they're perfectly safe. They don't get absorbed in your body or anything like that. Silicone goes on your face. And as it dries, your wrinkles go away. You've seen the commercials. Now you say, oh, I remember that one. They put it on the bottom eyelid, you know, in over 2 minutes in a time-lapse photography. The wrinkle and the bags go away. It's actually quite spectacular, and it is real. Now, this is a pretty bad product for a plastic surgeon to advertise because, you know, if enough of you do this, you won't need me. You know, you won't need to come in and have a blepharoplasty for an eyelid as an eyelid lift or have your wrinkles filled. You grab your Plexiderm. Well, that's okay because Plexiderm is a really good product and it will help you if you've got an important engagement today, tonight, tomorrow. Put it on your face. The wrinkles go away. When you wash your face, the wrinkles are back. So, no, it's not skincare. It's more like a makeup. Well, if you want this Plexiderm, I'm going to give you an 800 number and you can get 50% off the price. So, ready for this? Write this down. 800-925-9963. You've got to use that number. If you call one of the other numbers, you won't get the discount. So it's 800-925-9963. That's 800-925-9963. And tell the little 14-year-old that answers the phone, go ahead and tell them that you heard about this on the Dr. Perry Show. I don't think it's a 14-year-old, but who knows? It might be. All right, so Plexiderm, 800-925-9963. Nancy, what can I do for you? What's your wrinkle? Are you there, Nancy?
Yes, I am. Hi.
Hi.
A dermatologist burned off a raised brown spot on my head, on my cheek. I'm sorry, on my cheek, and almost 3 weeks ago, and I'm left with like a, I guess a scar. It's flat and it's.
Now let's hold on just a second. What do you mean burned off? I mean, how did he burn it off, or she burn it off?
With that. What's it? Liquid nitrogen?
Okay, so froze it off. A little different.
I'm sorry, froze it off. Yeah.
Okay, because most people aren't burning those things off anymore. That was something from the 1960s. So, okay, so it was it a seborrheic keratosis? What was it?
I don't know what it was, but it was not a flat brown spot. It was raised.
Okay, so if it was a board-certified dermatologist, I certainly trust their diagnostic capabilities, mm-hmm. and freezing these things off is a very reasonable way to go. Now, you have to be skilled at freezing these things off, because if you go too far, you can get a scar. So they're very good at that. But in the beginning, you said it looks like what now?
Now, it's flat, but it's like a discoloration on my face. It's maybe a half an inch long.
Okay, so that's why God created makeup.
Yeah, I know.
No, seriously, not kidding. You want to put makeup on this, and you want to put, even this time of year, even November, where there's no sun anymore in New York, just a little bit, and these are very low UV index days, you still want sunscreen, because if you don't, whenever you have a scar or something like this that's immature, whether it's red or purple, if any sunlight at all gets on that area, it will turn brown for the rest of your life. So you'll have a little brown splotch there. So you want to use sunscreen on it. It's going to take several months until, and there's nothing you can do other than protect it during that time period and also put makeup on. You know, I like, for if it's really deep in color, Dermablend is a great makeup. You know, you could use it. There's a two-step process for the really thick Dermablend. It's a very opaque makeup. It's not like your normal makeup. And most of you will not wear this every single day. But if you've got a scar that you want to cover, Dermablend works out very well. And, you know, if it's blue, you put a yellow on. If it's red, you put a green on. And then you kind of smush it around. That's a technical term. And then you put your skin color on top of that. So that's what you want to do for now. If it does persist, if it's there for longer than 6 months, you can visit a plastic surgeon. And there are some things that we can do, like laser it and things like that. But usually it won't be necessary, Nancy.
Okay. One quick other quick question.
Sure.
Your nighttime, when I open up the, I've been using it for a long time. It's usually like a light color, like almost, you know what it looks like. But after a while, it turns brownish. Is that okay?
Well, it turns brown over time, and I've aged these bottles. I know that if I refrigerate the bottle, they're good for 3 years. If you don't refrigerate it, it's probably around a year or so. If you open it and don't refrigerate it, I've done this. I've actually done what's called a colorimetric analysis. I've taken a picture every single day for 6 months and measured the color change. And the color change corresponds to the vitamin C change. I'm very hands-on. You can tell I've made these products myself, and I follow the science very carefully. So if you allow the light beige nighttime to get kind of a yellowish color, which occurs over about 6 months of it being uncapped, then it will lose about half of its vitamin C. If you let it get brown, then it gets then most of the vitamin C is gone. So certainly a light beige is okay, a mid beige, even a yellow is okay. If it gets to be brown, throw it out. But if you do this the right way, if you keep your bottles in the refrigerator and then just open them up very carefully, don't shake them up, and then put it on and then, you know, cap it, certainly it'll be good for a month. It's a metered amount. If you use one dropper full of nighttime every day, it will last you almost exactly 1 month. All right, Nancy?
Should I put it back in the refrigerator after I open it?
You really don't have to if you use it in a month. You know, you really don't have to, and that's what I've shown here. And in my own home, I don't refrigerate it after we open it. But in the interim, if you happen to buy three bottles, for instance, put it in the refrigerator. Yeah. And a lot of people ask me what temperature. You know, it freezes lower. You know, we get into some real technical things, but it won't freeze at 32. It refreezes a lot lower than that because of all the stuff in it. It's a chemistry thing. So it doesn't matter how cold your refrigerator is. Don't, however, put it in the freezer. I don't know what it will do there.
Okay. And I ordered your soap special today.
Oh, well, that's good. Thank you very much. And that soap special, half price. It's a great opportunity. It is such a great, I really think it's my best product, I think. It really is. You know, I was asked by my patients to create a soap because years ago when I had the night skin and the day skin and those products, you know, I looked at every soap I could find to find the most perfect soap out there, and I just couldn't find anything. I couldn't find anything that was the right pH, that is the right acidity, because your skin is acidic, not alkaline, you know, more like a lemon, less like baking soda. I couldn't find anything without sulfates. There are very few without sulfates. I couldn't find anything without preservatives. So I made something that is the right pH, has no sulfates, no preservatives, no phthalates, no toxins, a very nice smell, kind of have that zen experience in the shower with it. That's what Clean Time is. And the only bad thing about Clean Time, which hopefully you'll find out, is that you'll never be able to use your own soap again, the other soap. You'll have to throw it out because once you use this, it's really nice. How's that for a salesman? But true, really, it's true. It really
it is.
Well,
I've been using it quite a while, so I like it.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it, and I appreciate the call. Thanks, Nancy.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. Now, Bernadette, we're going to have to get to your phone call after the break. I'm sorry. We just don't have enough time to do it justice, so just hang on, please. Don't hang up, please. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle? Right here on WABC. We were talking about ears, so let's sneak in a little bit more about ears before the break. So we talked about those Bifid ears. What about wrinkled earlobes? A lot of you have wrinkled earlobes. Once you hit about 60, 60 or so, you get these little wrinkles in. I can actually put wrinkle filler in earlobes, and I've been doing that more and more. I can also laser earlobes to shrink the earlobe. So if you've got really big, beefy earlobes, which, you know, it happens as you get older, your earlobes tend to grow and elongate. And, you know, other parts of your body don't grow, but your earlobes and the tip of your nose do. So what do? We can laser those. We can peel those. A lot of different ways to handle this. But if it's just wrinkles, I like the hyaluronic acid wrinkle fillers like Restylane and Juvederm, those things. They do a great job. And then there's almost no bruising usually in your earlobe. You can go right about your business the very same day. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. We're going to take a short break now. 800-848-9222. 800-848-WABC. Before we break, I'm supposed to mention Facebook, facebook.com. Of course, you all have Facebook, right? Well, Facebook, I'm on Facebook. It's Dr. Arthur Perry. And the skincare company is on Facebook also. It's Dr. Perry's. So go to Facebook and like those pages. Thank you very much. We'll be back after these words.
You're listening to What's Your Wrinkle with Dr. Arthur Perry. What's Your Wrinkle?
And what is your wrinkle? I'm board-certified plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry and the host of the show. 800-848-9222 is the phone number. At the beginning of the show, I promised I'd talk a little bit about facial asymmetry. You know, how many of you think you are perfectly symmetrical? I bet you a lot of you think you are, but if you take a really good look at yourself, take a photograph, you'll notice a lot of differences between your left and right side. Now, you know that your hands are different, right? Because a glove might fit a little bit differently on one side or another, or your shoes fit differently, or your bra fits differently. And we're all asymmetrical. Our face is asymmetrical also. Look at your ears. One might protrude a little bit more on one side than the other. Your nasolabial fold might be deeper on one side than the other. Your eyelid might be just a tiny bit lower on one side than the other. We're made that way. And in fact, a little bit of asymmetry is normal. And when people are very symmetrical, they actually look a little funny. And it's really very interesting because perfection is so uncommon. It is asymmetry that is more common. But here's what happens. A lot of women come to me and they look at their face when we show their pictures. In a consultation, I take your photographs, and we talk together when we look at the computer screen at your photographs. And we say, well, maybe you need filler, maybe you need a facelift, maybe you need your eyelid lift. And I point out the asymmetry, and a lot of you tell me, well, I didn't have that before. And I would say, well, you know, you probably just didn't notice it, or your skin is becoming lax. Well, there was a good study that was just published in our journal, which is called Plastic and Reconstructive Surgery. It just came out a couple days ago, and it looked at asymmetry of women's faces as they age. And it turns out that asymmetry really does increase as you get older. And there's a lot of reasons for it. It's not just that it sags more on one side than the other. There are changes in the bone that do occur as you get older. So it's really pretty interesting. The real changes occur in the lower two-thirds of the face. So the upper portion of the face, which is your forehead above your eyes, not so much of a change as you get older in terms of asymmetry, but the asymmetry of your mid-face, that is your cheeks, and your neck really increases as you get older. So you come into me and we do what we can to improve the asymmetry to bring you back to less asymmetric. So it's kind of an interesting thing. It's normal. Don't be upset by it. If it's really asymmetric, it does bother you a lot. And a lot of people come in a lot earlier than when you begin aging. If you're 30 and you have a very asymmetrical face, we might do all sorts of procedures to improve your symmetry. All right, let's see. We've got Bernadette on the line. Bernadette, what can I do for you? What is your wrinkle?
Yes. Hi, doctor. Pleasure to speak to you. I wanted to ask you, I've seen a lot of press on this Fraktura laser, and I am concerned about nasolabial folds, and I don't want to go the, the filler route, because I think that it, lasts long enough.
Well, okay. How old are you?
Late 60s.
Late 60s. Specifically, how late?
well, 2 year from the end of the decade.
All right, so you're 68 years old. So you know, yeah, that's not real old, you know. So what is fractura? Fractura is radio frequency. So it's electric current. I am not doing it because I'm not convinced. I mean, there are some people that do that, but I'm not convinced that it gives a good enough result. I've never been convinced that radio frequency, and there's a lot of different devices out there, thermage and things like that, people use to hopefully kind of tighten the skin. The problem with radio frequency, in my opinion, is that it's not precise enough. We can't put the energy, the electricity, in exactly where we want it to get a reliable result without maybe sometimes burning the skin. So some of those techniques, and not Fractura, but some of the competing technologies have caused some real deformities when the electric current leaves the skin and goes into the fat underneath the temples, for instance. And I even believe with a not Fractura, please, it wasn't, but with another competing company, I believe there was a class action lawsuit about 10 or so years ago. So I've never been a fan of that technology. I do love fillers. I'm sorry. I really think they are wonderful. Yes, they're temporary. They last around a year or so. But there are other things that can improve your appearance. So when you hit 68, when you hit that age, you've got jowls, right? You've got bands in the neck. You've got nasolabial folds that are deep. And generally, you look 68 years old. So what do? There are lots of different techniques now that plastic surgeons have. Back in the old days, I finished my residency at the University of Chicago in 1987, and we had facelifts, and we had deep chemical peels, and that was it. Now, we've got all sorts of things to help you look better as you get older. So, there's something called Ulthera, which is high-energy focused ultrasound. That's a good technology, but for the most part, it's subtle. It has some strengths. It'll elevate your brows, and it'll elevate your cheeks, your jowls, rather. But it's mostly subtle, and in probably 70-80% of people, it's more subtle. And about 20% of people, you get a wow. But a lot of people want more than that. And so we have laser procedures, something called the fractionated laser, not to be confused with what you were talking about, which is Fractura, unless you got that wrong, by the way. A lot of people think Fractura is fractionated laser. It is not. The fractionated laser, there's one company that calls their machine Fraxel, but there are lots of others. I have another, it's called a carbon dioxide fractionated laser, which is very good. And what it does is it tightens the skin and it reduces the wrinkles of the face. And it's not a substitute for a facelift, but in a lot of people who don't want to go into the operating room, I don't know why, by the way, it's so much fun in there, but if you don't, then the laser might be something you might do. I am not doing InstaLift anymore. Sorry, I talked about it a lot last year. My personal feeling is InstaLift doesn't hold up, and there was a publication. I'll be changing that commercial, by the way. You know, what can I say? I call it as I see it, and I'm not doing InstaLift anymore. So some things come and some things go in plastic surgery. So there's a lot to choose from, Bernadette. You have a consultation. Go sit down with your plastic surgeon, and your plastic surgeon will examine you and see exactly what it is that bothers you. What bothers the plastic surgeon might not bother you. So it's what you want, not what your husband or your employer or anybody else wants. You have to say and verbalize, you know, what it is that bothers you. And then we go through all the different things that are possible that might help you, and then you choose. And some people do non-invasive things. Some people only want surgery, and some people want lasers and things like that. So there's a lot to choose from nowadays.
Can I just ask you, what would sure. be the percentage of improvement with the Fraxel laser? Would you see like a 50% improvement in your...
Can't answer that. Unfortunately, can't answer that because it depends on the person and it depends on what we're looking at. So the Fraxel laser is not going to lift your jowls. The Fraxel laser will even out your skin tone and it will decrease wrinkles. And it depends on how deep we go and how many procedures we do. So nowadays, in the old days, in the dark ages of the laser, I used to do a very deep laser and one of them, and you had 2-week healing period. Now we're doing the fractionated laser, And we're doing two or even three different procedures so that you have a shorter recovery. And we have to do it repeatedly every month or so until we get you to the point where you look much better. But it's a much easier recovery. You don't require sedation or general anesthesia to have the procedure. So I can't answer that particularly over the radio, but more than likely in a consultation that can be answered. All right, Bernadette?
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Doctor.
Okay, thanks so much for calling What's Your Wrinkle? I'm Dr. Arthur Perry, and let's see, maybe we can squeeze in one more phone call. Rosemary, what can I do for you? What's your wrinkle?
Hi.
We have to talk real fast, Rosemary, because we have just a little bit of time.
Okay. I have these eyelids that droop down. They're really bad now. I'm in my late 70s, and I have bags underneath my eyes and terrible wrinkles. And, you know, it makes me feel bad. You know, it was once a beautiful face. And I just don't want to look like this. And then I have these lines on my lips. I don't want to look this way.
Okay, so the lip lines are easy at 78 years old because we use filler and things like that. That's easy to help. At 78 years old, yes, we can do an eyelid lift. We have to be very careful. Examine your eyes very carefully because as you get older into your late 70s, you are at a higher risk for a problem called a pull-down. The technical term is an ectropion. And that's where we tighten your eyelids, but they dip down afterwards like a basset hound. I have two basset hounds. They look great with their eyelids, but you wouldn't look so good if that happened to you. So we have to be very, very careful. But 78, I have done plenty of eyelid lifts at 78 years old, but you have to be real careful. And we usually will do something called a canthopexy, and that's a lid tightening procedure, but we don't have time to define that tonight because we have so little time left. But next week, I'll talk a lot more, Rosemary, so make sure you listen, about eyelid surgery, what we can do for you, because you've got crow's feet, I understand, you've got bags under your eyes, and we'll talk all about that next week. All right. Sorry I don't have time to fully answer your question, but thank you so much for the call. Now, I'm Dr. Arthur Perry, board-certified plastic surgeon. So there's your teaser for next week. We're going to talk all about eyelid surgery, and we'll answer Rosemary's question a little bit better when we have a little bit more time. Thank you so much for great engineering. And we will be back next week. But I want to mention that I've got offices in Manhattan and New Jersey. So go ahead, give me a call during the week. 212-753-1820 in New York, 732-422-9600 in New Jersey. And check out the webpage. It's perryplasticsurgery.com. And check out that special. Remember, it's a half-price soap special with a clean code and all the other things on the website. Thanks so much for great engineering, Bruce. And Jennifer, we'll see everybody next week. Bye-bye now.